Well, good evening. Good to see everybody. Welcome back to church. It's been a little while, and well, it was this time last week we were here. Last time we had a live service, and had a little snow in the mix, in the in-between, and you know, like the old tale goes, I've heard, if it's snow hangs around a few days after it comes or whatever along those lines, 3 days, it's going to come again. And so they're talking about it coming again. And so we'll see. We'll see. But I enjoy being back at, I enjoy being at church, so I hope it don't come again. And but been missing all of you. So good to see you tonight. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study, prayer meeting service. Everybody been doing good, I guess, hanging in there. And well, that's good. That's good. Well, again, it's good to be here this evening. Good to have each and every one of you come on out tonight. I want to say welcome to those viewing on Facebook Live tonight. Good to have you joining in with us, and those possibly on our internet, on the web page as well, the audio stream. We appreciate each and every person that's watching this service tonight. All right, we'll go right ahead and jump into things. Mention a few people and give you some updates, then we'll open up the floor to you. Maybe if you have something to mention, a prayer request, an update, a praise, you can. But let's continue to remember our children's home staff and young people in your prayers, if you would. And I believe, let's see, Brother Randy, I don't know if you heard or not, but young Gracie, she had an outpatient surgery today at the home, and she did, Eli. Okay, I appreciate that. So she's doing good. Continue to remember her in prayer, but that's good. She made it through that well, and continue to remember Miss Lucille Turner and her recovery, and Lily's doing amazing. This is her third day back at school, and she is just prancing around. She left me in the dust in the store the other day. I had to tell her to slow down, and she's feeling it. She's feeling good, and so I don't want to hold her back, but you know, before she goes lifting any dumbbells, I got to tell her, wait a minute, just chill out, no dumbbells. So in fact, she has to have somebody carry her backpack at school for a little while. Anything over 10 pounds she can't lift, but we praise the Lord for that. And her and Christy are at home tonight, and they'll be back on Sunday morning. And so we thank you for your prayers. It's been a long journey, and but God has blessed tremendously, and we're so very thankful for that. Miss Diane Ely, remember her as she continues to get better. Brother Jim Jr. and his surgery coming up in March. Leonard Dolores Palmer, their daughter Kim. Continue to remember Miss Claudia Darby, Brother Harold Dolph, Don and Carla over in Peru. Looks like they get some grounds covered over there and get some people in place. I believe Brother Darren, his wife, are there now, and assistant pastor is established there. That's great. God's blessing over there. We appreciate everybody's prayers concerning the riches over there in Cajamarca, Peru. And let's remember all of our missionaries, foreign and home missions. And everybody may not know what home missions is, but home missions is just the way it sounds. Being a missionary at home here in the USA, we got some missionaries in New York that planted a church. They're doing great. And there's missionaries from north to south, east to west, all in the USA. And we just love our missionaries, and so we pray for them, foreign and home. But let's remember our shut-ins, Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, Emily McCrickard, Joyce Manning, and then, of course, James Tolan Brown, our Marine, Kevin Brook over at Champion Christian College, and Jamie Carden in the Air Force. So let's remember them. We'll open up the floor if anybody has a request, an update, a prayer, praise, anything you'd like to make known. Miss Glenda?
I have a cousin that passed away
Okay. God bless you. God bless. That's great. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, God can do it. God can do it.
It's here. My son's mother is home from the hospital.
Excellent. Anybody else? Go ahead. Yeah. It's terrible, isn't it? Just remember the families there in California, the fires, those lost their lives, lost everything. I seen a clip of some of you may have seen it, like a tornado in a fire tornado. Sweeping through there. I mean, that is just terrible, terrible stuff. But thank you, Brother Ceylon. Let's remember these over in California. Someone else have a hand up? Miss Cassie? Sharing that. Anybody else? Yeah.
My baby sister's got stage 4 lung cancer, liver cancer, brain cancer.
Oh.
She's been in the hospital for 3 weeks tomorrow. They're trying to get her off smoking and drinking. She's in Gainesville, Georgia. So
is your sister? Sister, baby sister? Okay.
Yeah, she's the only sister I have. I have two brothers.
Okay, yeah. We'll be praying for her. Anybody else? All right, well, we are making our way through January for sure. And so, you know, once we get through January and get into February, some things will start picking up as far as activities, and got working on another fundraiser February-ish, and of course March we've got a Jubilee, and then on and on we go. And so we'll fire up our outreach again February, March, during that time, and just keep moving forward. We're going to be keeping on till Jesus comes. That's the goal. All right. Well, if that's all we have, we will all meet in the altar, have a time of prayer together, and all that would like to. And then Brother Jeff has a song for us. glad you're here tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It is good to be here. All right.
Stand, we will, and I'm going to sing Victory in Jesus. I heard an old, old story, how the Savior came from glory, how He made me fly save a wretch like me. I heard enough His groaning, of His precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior for. With His redeeming blood,
Victory in Jesus. What a blessing. There is victory tonight. Free for the taking. And not to say it's an easy thing to experience victory, but it is certainly there. And I think the older we get spiritually, the more we learn how to win. We learn how to win. We learn what works and what doesn't work. So appreciate that, Brother Jeff. Victory in Jesus. We have the Lord with us. If we're saved, we have Him in us. He is for us. And He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. What a blessing. Victory in Jesus. All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, make your way to Esther chapter number 4. Esther chapter number 4. And in just a moment, we're going to read a verse, verse number 14. Out of Esther 4, verse number 14. We'll give you a minute or two to get there. I'm going to bow for a word of prayer, and then we will bring about our subject for tonight. Father, we love You. We thank You for all things, Father. We lift up all these requests tonight. God, I pray that You would touch those who need physical touching, those who need mental a mental touch, touch them. Spiritually, we pray that You would empower those who need spiritual empowerment. But God, we do pray for all those on the prayer list, those mentioned, those in the hospital, those who have lost their lives and families down in the fires over in California, God. I just pray for Your all-sufficient, ever-present hand to be everywhere, Lord. I pray that You'd be with us for the next few moments tonight. I pray that You'd use us in a mighty way. Even on this Wednesday night, God, we've come together because we need a word from You. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. I want to ask you a question tonight. Have you ever wondered why God places certain people in your life? Or have you ever wondered why God calls you for a specific task? Some callings are meant to fulfill a specific purpose. God places certain people in our life for specific purposes as well. Some people last only for a season in our life. Some tasks only last for a certain season in our life. Other people are placed in our lives for a lifetime, and some tasks that God has us doing last for a lifetime. And so that's just a question I propose to you tonight. Have you ever wondered why God places certain people in your life and mine, or calls us to go through something, encounter a situation in our life? Have you ever wondered why God does that? And I do know this, that God is using everything together for good. In all serving that takes place in your life, in mine, whatever we go through, whatever situation we encounter, it's all for His greater plan. Let me say this, there's a concept out there that says God calls some into a specific ministry for a reason, a specific reason. God calls some into a certain area of ministry for a season. And then God calls some into a certain area of ministry for a lifetime. There's a similar concept when it comes to friends. There are certain friends in life for a reason, some for a season, and then others for a lifetime. I found that to be true. But God's variety of time lengths in ministry reflects the biblical understanding of the variety, purpose, and timing of God's callings. I'm really trying to simplify what's in my mind and my heart. Throughout Scripture, we see God calling individuals into certain roles, sometimes for brief periods, sometimes to accomplish a task, and other times for a lifelong endeavor. Each calling serves God's sovereign purpose, and every believer's role has significance in His grand plan. So, in a condensed statement, I'll say this: God puts people in your life, in my life, sometimes for certain moments, certain seasons, or at a lifetime duration. God can have you at a certain place or in someone's life for a certain moment, for a certain season, or a lifetime. God calls for certain moments, seasons, or lifetimes. Tonight I want to talk to you about this subject, and that is simply this: reason, season, or lifetime. Or a reason, a season, or a lifetime. You could very well be where you're at right now for a specific reason, for a certain season, or for a certain lifetime. So I want to look at, again, in a very elementary way, the best that I possibly can at this subject of reason, season, or a lifetime. And I want to look at each situation. Number one, there is a calling for a reason. For a reason. Some callings are meant to address a specific need or purpose. God may call someone to a ministry role to accomplish a unique task or fulfill a short-term objective. The intersection you're at in your life right now, there may be a short-term objective God wants accomplished. Let's look at Esther. Esther chapter number 4, in verse 14, listen to this: "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And so we see that this statement was made. Esther, the very reason why all of this is happening is because God just might be using you for a time such as this, for such a particular time. And we see that Mordecai is charging or challenging Esther here. And so we know that Esther was called for the specific purpose of saving her people from destruction. Esther's role was crucial. Esther's role was important. Esther's role was temporal, but nonetheless, it had an amount of pressure upon her. It had an amount of weight upon her. It was at a time where she had to seek the Lord and His leadership. So Esther's role was crucial, yet her time in that role was brief. And it focused on a certain crisis. So tonight I want to say that there are certain reasons that God allows us to encounter certain things. It could be a certain crisis that we're encountering where You're that movable piece God wants to use to be a blessing to somebody, to a ministry, to something. This might be something that God is wanting to grow you up through. He's trying to mature you rapidly. That's why there's so much stress. That's why there's so much anguish. That's why the situation is so problematic. It's because all you've been knowing how to do is follow God. And since you've been following God, it's been trouble, it's been heartache and heartbreak. Well, God has not forgot about you. God has not given up on you. There are times in life where God has to push and move us fast because He has a certain situation that He wants to be dealt with. He wants to grow us, mature us. And so we find that Esther was called for a certain crisis. The Bible says, "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" How can God use you where you're at, what you're going through, in a very mighty and powerful way? What is God doing? And that's the big question tonight. We really just don't know a lot of the times. Let me say this. When it comes to the book of Esther, God's name is not mentioned in the book one time. Go back and research and look. His name isn't mentioned. Not one time in this book. But it is very plain. It is very evident that the hand of God was working in the life of Esther. For Esther to walk in and say the words before approaching the king, "If I perish, I perish." And for God to move, it's either coincidence God moved on the king's heart, or it was God moving on the king's heart. And we know it was God moving on the king's heart. And listen, for the king to say, "Yes, go ahead, and we'll get those letters out and we'll reach the people and all of that." Listen, that had to be God. Sometimes we can't trace His hand. Sometimes we pray and we don't feel nothing. All we know is we are walking each and every day doing the very best we can. And so there are times where we can't trace His hand, but we must trust His heart. The same way the name of God is not found in the book of Esther, yet He was working, is the same way that God is in our life. Sometimes we just can't understand what He's doing, but we have to look for His hand because He is definitely at work. He promises He will be at work in our life. Not only God's name is not mentioned in this book, yet God worked, but former Queen Vashti was used in a pivotal role in order for her to get out of that position and get Esther in. So the king called for Queen Vashti. They were drinking and partying. "Get Queen Vashti in here. Get her on in here." Guess what? She said, "I ain't going. I am not going. I am not going to lower my standards. I'm not going to put myself in a position like that for men to look upon me with ill intent." And because of that, she was pushed out of office, so to speak. She was pushed out of her position. But this opened up the door for Esther to be the new queen. Who knows what God's doing in our life? Who knows what God is doing on our right hand or our left hand? We have to cling to His promise in Romans 8:28 that He is working all things together for good. What else are we going to believe? If we just believe that we're going to crumble and we're going to drop and we're going to fail, we're doomed, we're hopeless, we're helpless, nothing matters, we're going to just crumble and crush. Listen, we will crumble and crush if we believe that way. But if we believe that there is a sovereign God who makes no mistakes, I say oftentimes when I pray and when I preach and when I teach, that God, sometimes He does things that we don't agree with. Isn't that right? We don't always agree with everything that God does. And God knows that. I told Him that. a lot. God, I do not agree with everything you're doing. Nevertheless, the Son of God said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup in the Garden of Gethsemane, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. To get to the nevertheless part, sometimes it's a very discouraging, grueling, long process to get to the place of nevertheless. In fact, y'all have heard me say it, and I'll say it again, that it took me 10 years to get to the nevertheless place for Lily to have back surgery, Brother Don. For 10 years. Now, Christy, she, through that 10 years, she worked like a backbone to our family. And then through the actual surgery process, I guess I was the backbone. But we both helped, and the Lord helped us through it. But for 10 years, it was, I just, Lord, if please, Lord, I know you can make the crooked thing straight. Lord, if you would just straighten her spine out, God, I believe you can do that. And we had some doctor appointments and x-rays where it did correct itself a little bit. And God gave us what we needed during that time. I needed a good report during those days. God knew if I didn't get a good report about my baby girl, then I felt like I was going to crumble, and so He gave me what I needed. But 10 years later, and dealing with it and anguishing over it, and prayer after prayer after prayer after prayer, and then one night Lily comes to me and she says, Mom, Dad, I'm ready for my back surgery. I mean, at that point, I mean, it was just like, you know, that's it. God gave me immediate peace. Lock, stock, and barrel, we were ready to go. And that was my nevertheless moment. And I tell you, when she was under anesthesia on her belly for 4.5 hours, Christy and I exercised more faith in God than we have our own individual Christian lives in that 4.5 hours. But God brought her through. God brought her through. And so tonight we are looking at the subject of reasons, seasons, or a lifetime. And we see from the story of Esther that God was working in this story, and he was working on this end, and Vashti sat down and Esther rose up. We just don't know what God is doing. And so we do know this, and we must cling to this, that He's working all things together for good. He's getting us to the nevertheless part, not my will but thine will be done. All right? And so that's Esther. That's Esther. God may have you where He does for a certain reason. What about, let's mention another character in the Bible. What about Philip? Philip. You can follow me along to Acts 8. Or on the screen, either one, Acts 8. On the screens, Acts 8. We've preached from here several times. You've heard preaching and teaching for years in these verses from others. But we know that Philip, God called Philip away from a revival in Samaria. Many were getting saved. And then Philip said, I have to go. I have to go. One thing that I think is interesting is he left Samaria on a good note when things were up high, when there was multiplication in the family of God. He didn't leave when things were low and nobody was getting saved, nothing was happening, but he left on a high note, which I find that's very interesting. And so God sometimes does that. He allows us to leave when things are good. All right, Philip. God called Philip away from a revival in Samaria. Many were getting saved. He was sent to share the gospel from many just to one person. A eunuch, a man of Ethiopia. Now, I want you to notice in verse number 27 to 28 of Acts chapter number 8, the timing of this transition. Verse 27, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So he went to Jerusalem to worship. Look at verse 28. Was returning. He was on his way back from worship. Was returning. And sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Now at that specific timing, in that specific moment, God had already spoke to Philip and told him to arise and go. He went. Verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. We're talking about sometimes God calls us for tasks for certain reasons. And Philip was called away from many to just one, and the timing was perfect timing. It was perfect timing. This eunuch was coming back from worship, and at that certain time, for that particular reason, God called Philip away to join him in his chariot. I want to say this, that I give Philip credit for positioning himself to hear from God. A lot of people would have been like, well, God's blessing over here and all these people are getting saved. And wait a minute, I feel this urge to go over here. No, God's not in that. Would God call a man from a church doing well to a church not doing so well? I'll say this, little as much if God is in it. Would God call somebody away from a happening place, a good job? Would God call somebody away where he has a lot of friends, a lot of things going on, to a minor circumstance, little situation? I think so, because little is much if God is in it. And Philip, he positioned himself so that he heard the Lord. Verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. And so he had a listening ear. Many people would be like, oh no, God's not it. God's in this over here. And sometimes God was in that in Samaria. Let us be careful to listen to the voice of God. You may listen, and we ought to seek counseling. We ought to ask for help. There is safety in the multitude of counselors, but at the end of the day, we have the unction. We've been smeared with the Spirit of God upon our hearts and minds that no man needs to teach us, meaning if God has something to say, he'll tell me. If God has something to say to you, he will tell you. Just make sure you're listening. So-and-so may call you to do something, this one may call you to do that, but what about God? The situation you're at in your life right now, what has God said about it? Does God want you to do it? Or does mom and daddy want you to do it? Grandma and grandpa want you to do it? They feel like you need to do it. They feel like you need to do it. Listen, it is easy, especially in ministry, to hear from everybody and to go along with their voice and not God's voice. I prefer as a pastor. Now, let me say it this way. I only go to my mentors when I need them. Okay? Because everybody has experience they want to share, and that's good. We need that. But if you're always around what people think and how they think you should approach things, you'll be a lost ball in high weeds. So I have mentors, and I go to them when I need help. Otherwise, God can speak to me. What is it in school? The teacher, she'll get on to the student if you for every question. I have a question for everything. The teacher will say, you stay there and try to work it out on your own first. And if you can't come up with an answer, come to me. That was me in school. Teacher, I got a question. Son, work it out. And if you absolutely can't get an answer, then come to me. That's how I am with my life. God can speak to me like He speaks to my mentors. God can speak to you like He spoke to Billy Graham. God can speak to you like many believe He did Mother Teresa. And so God can speak. And Philip was a man who listened to God, and he even got to the destination, and the Lord spoke to him again. He left the crowd and went to one person. Listen, little is much if God is in it. You may feel like you have a little situation, a little task. God's not concerned about me. God's not concerned about my little situation. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. He makes sure that the birds are fed every day, and He makes sure on the other end of the spectrum that you're fed every day, and He knows the numbers of amount of hairs you have on your head tonight, and He captures your tears in a bottle. Don't tell me God's not involved and cares about the little things, because He is. He knows where you're at in your marriage tonight. He sees the tears you cry. He knows about the situation with the children tonight. He knows about the family problems. He knows about the job situation. He knows about your mental state. He knows about all of that. And God cares about the little, and God cares about the big. When it comes to a reason, a season, or a lifetime, when it involves people in ministry, sometimes God does things for certain reasons, and then He's done. Make sure you're listening. All right? And we see the timing here. It was when the eunuch was returning. That moment, for that reason, for that purpose. He is an on-time God. All right? So God orchestrates timing. We already talked about Philip heard from the Lord. And all of those things. Listen, again, God can use others in our lives for certain reasons and moments in time, as well for using us at a place for a certain reason or moment in time. It's all up to Him. Let me move on to the second thing. We see a reason, but then let's look at a season. Reason, season, or lifetime. There's a calling for a season. There's times where God calls individuals, listen to me, to serve, to minister, to work, or allow some event to continue for a season, which is more than a moment. It's a stretched out time span. This time may be extended, but it's not permanent. There may be some here tonight watching on Facebook, listening online, that may be going through a very frustrating season. Can I say, based on God's Word, it's not permanent? Ecclesiastes 3:1 talks about that there's seasons and purposes for those seasons. What if it stayed winter, Brother Ceylon? I tell you what I'll do. I won't say I'll move to California, but I'd probably move to Florida. If it was just winter in Georgia, 24/7, 365. What if it was winter all the time? What if it was spring all the time? What if it was summer all the time? The ecosystem, the way that God is spinning the world on His finger. He has a change of seasons for a purpose. So everything will be wrapped and covered and planted and conditioned and washed and purified and filtered and growing and smooth. It takes the rain. It takes the lightning. It even takes the thunder. Listen, it takes the snow. It takes the hail. It takes all of it. Dry spells to have a beautiful world. And God has it spinning on His finger. And so is your life. We have seasons we go through. There's times in life I can look back where God worked in a moment, in a short space of time. There's other times where He worked through seasons. We're coming out of a 10-year season. We found out Lily has scoliosis, and from 7 to 17, that was a long season. We're on to chapter 2 in her health. Portfolio. She's doing great now. She is an inch and a half taller. And I was kidding her the other day. I said, look at you, Lily, walking around like Queen Esther, all straight and prim and proper. That confidence walking into the house. I'm telling you, like a T. Shoulders and back. Wonderful thing, man. Wonderful thing. But now we're on chapter 2. Now she's getting ready to graduate high school next year. All right? She's driving now, but she'll be on her own driving. Ah! Oh, I just can't take it. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. I'm not saying His name in vain. I'm just asking for help. Golly. You know, and then college or no college, and then marriage one day, and then babies, which means I'll be a grandpa one day. Look, okay, she ain't slowing down in age. She'll be 18 in September. Okay, Christy and I, we were like 21 when we got married. 21, 22. When we got married. In fact, we're approaching our 20-year wedding anniversary on the 29th of this month. She put up with me for 20 years. And I've learned from her in 20 years. But look, listen. Seasons. Seasons come, seasons go. It may be allowed by God as a time of preparation, growth, like I said earlier, or God may be making you to be an impact on somebody's life. It may take a month. It may take 6 months, a year. It may take a couple years. I don't know. Well, however long it takes to make that impact on them and for God to touch you. It may be a singular situation just involving you. It may be a group situation. I don't know. But we do know that there's a calling for a season. Paul and Barnabas served together as missionaries for a season. They were together and they were spreading the gospel and they were planting churches. That's covered in Acts chapter 13, 5 through 15 pretty much. But their paths went in different directions after a season. Their partnership was instrumental in the growth of the early church, but God led them in separate directions after a while. Have you ever been friends with somebody, like close every day, weekly talking friends, and then your paths just kind of, not that you're mad at one another, not that you're, nothing bad happened, but you were just pretty much friends for a season. That was Paul and Barnabas. And God had them together to preach the gospel, plant them churches. And the season ended. They were still friends, but they went their separate ways and used their experiences in different areas of the world. What a blessing. Paul and Barnabas. What about John the Baptist? What about him? John's purpose in ministry was to prepare the way for Jesus' ministry. His ministry was powerful, but it was temporal, John's was. It led to Jesus' announcement. Then John's role slowly diminished. It was impactful, but it was temporal. You know, we hear of John and his apparel, and as one crying in the wilderness, a voice crying in the wilderness, "Make straight paths, prepare ye the way of the Lord." You know, that was a specific season leading up to a moment, and then Jesus walked across there. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Then John's ministry was slowly over. God has us in the season we're in for a reason. For a reason. It's easier preached than lived. But and I ask God to help me. Lord, help me not have complaint in my heart for the seasons that I go through, because I know you are teaching me something. There is something you want done in the life of another through me. There is a maturity level you're going after in me because you're preparing me for the next season. Oh, there's a pinnacle to your purpose. There's a pinnacle to your pain. There's a reason for the season. Seasonal callings or situations are temporal. Again, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. I also lay another one on you, Galatians 6, 9. Be not weary. Let us be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We will reap more than we sow, later than we sow. There's a law of sowing and reaping, and that goes to the flesh and to the spirit. We'll always reap more and later than we sow. Let me mention this. There's a third one, and then we'll be through tonight. There's a reason, there's a season, but then there's a lifetime. There's a lifetime. Again, going back to the very beginning of this lesson in our introduction, sometimes God calls us for a reason, for a season, to certain places or to be involved in people's lives, even for a lifetime. God may have someone in your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. He may have you somewhere for a reason, a season, a lifetime. So what about a lifetime? Some callings are intended to be lifelong. You know that? Some carry out at their jobs or places of service for a lifetime. In that place of service, their job, whatever they've been doing for a long period of time, it becomes their defining work in their life. Their defining work. When I think of Brother Snyder, two different things come to my mind. Calvary Baptist Church and Calvary Children's Home. Duh. But truly it does. What would I say is his defining work? I mean, only he knows, but I mean, to me, in my relationship with him, as long as I've known him, it's almost equal to me. Because when I think of Brother Snyder, Pastor Emeritus Reverend Snyder, I think of Calvary Baptist Church in the early years when I went to my first Jubilee coming from Floyd Road. I think about him sitting here on the stage, and I think about all of the Jubilees. But then I'm on this side of it, and I attach him not to just the church but to the children's home. I've seen him work there for years now and his role there. But I said that to say, just use him for an illustration. Sometimes God uses us as lifers. He picks us up and he sits us down. I'm always inspired at pastors who pastored 30 and 40 and 50 years at one church. When I think of Brother Berman, I think of Floyd Road Baptist Church. And I don't know what. What's your defining life work? We have to be willing to stay a while and to go along with God and what He's doing, to be defined of any kind of life work, whether it's for a specific reason, a season, or a lifetime. You could probably think of certain people that stayed where they're at. They endured hardship. They fought the storms. They stayed. And it has, what was once their travesty has become their testimony. They didn't buckle. They didn't budge. They didn't run when things were hard, but they stayed. And it ended up being their defining moment in life. Lord Jesus, I want to be able to stay rooted and grounded no matter what comes my way as pastor of this church until God is through with us here at, you know, as being husband and as being dad. I want to be the very best. I want to weather the storm. I want to be an inspiration to others. Because one day, I'm going to be laying in that casket. And those that are at my funeral, I want them to be able to reflect back on some defining moments in my life. Where that was a man, he wasn't perfect, but he stayed with it. He stayed with the Bible. He wasn't perfect, but he stayed with his convictions. He wasn't perfect. He wasn't the perfect pastor, but he stayed a while. He wasn't the perfect parent, but he stayed being a diligent parent or in a spouse and all those things. What you're undergoing right now may end up being a defining moment for you one day. My word of encouragement to you tonight is to know that God is in control. Trust Him, and when He's ready for the season to change and the page to turn, He'll do it. He don't need our help. He don't need our help at all. He knows how to turn the chapter. He knows how to turn the page. He knows how to change the season. In conclusion tonight, there's a calling for a lifetime. We don't have time to get into the life of Moses, but Moses was Israel's leader from the burning bush experience until his death, from 80 years old to 120. The first 80 years was prep work. Bro Ceylon, God has a mountain. God has a mountain for you, brother. You've been climbing a mountain your whole Christian experience, but God has one. All you out here tonight, God is still wanting to use you. The first 80 years of Moses' life was prep work. And the last 40 was his defining moments. He led Israel out of Egypt. He led them through the wilderness for how many years? 40 years. He wasn't able to enter the promised land, but he's seen it. Defining moments. Moses clinged to this truth. I just jotted down one verse, Exodus 3:12. I will be with you. God said that time and time again. Moses never failed to believe that. And Paul, lifelong apostle to the Gentiles, from the moment of conversion, his life was dedicated to preaching and planning, preaching the gospel, planting the churches, and then preaching the gospel in the churches he planted, and then establishing bishops and pastors and deacons. And then he said this in 2 Timothy 4:7. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Paul says that I was a lifer, a pastor, a preacher, a missionary, an apostle. He says, that was my life work, and I finished. Tonight, there's callings that are placed upon certain ones for a lifetime. Now, we're all called to be Christians for a lifetime once we get saved. But God may be having us do certain things for a lifetime. And if that's what He wants, then that's what He gets. So understanding that callings and people in our lives can be for a reason, a season, or a lifetime, it helps us better understand how God works and wants to work in our lives. So we just tried to be a help tonight and share some things with you on that subject. Reason, season, or lifetime. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for who you are, for what you do. Lord, help us keep graduating in this area of trust. Help us do so. Keep graduating from faith to faith, from season to season. And then one day, Lord, we'll be able to look you in the eyes and hopefully hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," and hopefully be able to cast the crown that we've won at your feet, given back to you. We love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. All right, thank you for being here tonight.